He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What a do-rag and my gazelles. What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together, we're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
We'll always be giving the people what they want every single day on social media. Make sure you follow the Jalen Jacoby Twitter account and the Jalen Jacoby IG account, as well as our personal accounts. We're working every day to get back on the air to give the people what they want. And the NBA is working very hard to give the people what they want as well. They're just trying to find new ways and some sort of way that they can bring back actual NBA basketball into our lives. The latest proposal of many involves basically what is a 25-day training period to ramp up for the return of professional basketball that's meaningful. Jalen, you played in the NBA for 13 years on about 16 different teams. How long do you think the appropriate amount of time is to sort of get players up to speed to play basketball?
And if you find that you don't like my ways, well, you can send me back in 30 days, is your answer. Because if it was only physical for the players, I would say training-wise, 2 weeks. Overall, as a unit, as a team, with the coaching staff, 4 weeks, including the front office preparation, just ownership settling, getting the entire building and everybody up to speed about the next phase. But also using that 30 days to make sure that there isn't a relapse in our country, that we're getting close to a vaccine, that not only professional sports leagues are getting testing, that people that need ventilators are actually getting them. As long as all of those things are moving toward conclusions, don't underestimate this month initially being July to get everybody back up to speed. If Major League Baseball is trying to get back up in May and do it in Arizona, I would hope that period of time means that things are progressing to the point that if the NBA could use July to be that period and play some sort of an ending to a regular season in July, in August, and then play a playoff in September, some sort of thing. Yes, it's going to bleed into the next year, but whatever conclusion is going to bleed into the next year. So this has to be a two-year plan anyway. And so I'll be all for that 90-day period of July, August, and September to be those months that you can finish the NBA season.
Yeah, it's interesting because we are not scientists. You know, we do not know exactly what is going to happen in the future. The scientists themselves don't really know exactly what's going to happen in the future. We've all seen all the different models. But when you mentioned the idea that, yeah, we want a vaccine to be closer, well, science is saying that that's probably not going to be this summer. And we want, you know, make sure that everyone has enough ventilators. Well, that's probably also not going to be this summer as well. So some of the conditions that you laid out there won't be met. But I think that they'll probably have some testing that'll be more effective. They'll be more rapid. You can get the results. So that can be something that can help sort of, you know, shield the players from contracting the virus from other players. And I also think that this baseball model of this like isolation city, this kind of like compound of professional basketball players to play at some sort of tournament, whether it be the playoffs or some sort of modified playoffs, will probably be what we will see. Do you think they will, all these games will happen in one location?
I think ultimately, they're going to, if it's not one location, one city or one region, because it's just the baseball is really going to get a chance to kick this thing off. And by the way, they need it because they've lagged behind the three major sports because I'm putting hockey in front of them in a lot of categories. And so if they're able to kick this off during this pandemic period and get us back paying attention to America's pastime, that type of thing, that'd be great for that sport. And then basketball in particular can take that model and do a version of it and see if they can quarantine the players and or their families and significant others, the people that's going to be attending the games, i.e. the referees, the coaches, the support staff, the training staff, that type of thing, PR, social media, all of those things are going to happen. And so if they can figure a way to put on the event, because I'll tell you, this is a great period for sports and entertainment, and not rushing and putting health above entertainment. But if we are able as entertainers and public figures to give people a chance to take themselves away from what's happened in our climate, Jacoby, at least a 30 minutes, an hour, a game, a throwback game. We're watching old school movies. Like, that's so very well worth it in a climate where we value sports. So I'm hoping that the NBA can find a way to make it happen.
Well, we all hope the same. And like you said, this is a big moment. We're all looking for entertainment. We're binge watching shows. We're watching old movies. I watched White Men Can't Jump again for like the
classic
time on Saturday night until 2 a.m. So Jalen, while we're all so thirsty for the sports content, the NBA and ESPN got together and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get some WNBA players. We're going to get some notable NBA players. We're going to get a couple washed-up guys that work with Jalen on Countdown. And we're going to have a horse tournament. Now, the first thing I want to show you is your Countdown brother, your family member, Paul Pierce, going up against one of the most athletic finishers in the NBA, and that is Zach LaVine. I just want to show you one particular letter that Paul got put on his head. Let's take a look.
Oh, there it is. Hey, we're doing it. I got the mo, man.
Oh, you got it. I couldn't even get the shot off.
I don't think that's that hard. So you got to slap the board with your left hand and then curl it out. I'm not saying I would do it on the first try, but I would do better than that. What happened with your man, Paul?
He was like, I'm not going to be able to do it. a few things took place. And this is why when I saw that email to participate, I was like, you know what? Jalen going to stand on the sideline and let this happen. Chauncey took care of his business. We'll get to him next. But for Paul, let me tell you a few things that went wrong soon as the show started. You ready for this? Number one, David Jacoby. He was in old man retire flow.
Yeah.
Had on a vest.
Yeah.
He had on Adidas shorts and Nike shoes.
I saw that too.
And white socks.
Come on, Paul.
So I was like, when I saw that, I was like, you know what? Today not going to be a good day. You know, the opposite of the Cube record. And then the other thing, he played against Zach LaVine. I've seen Zach LaVine do multiple videos in his backyard with his dog. He got his Seattle Seahawks colors out there. Like, that's his home floor, literally. And he's smart enough to take advantage of his athleticism. Mm-hmm. People sleep on that. In horse. They're like, oh, no dunking, but it's still a trick shot. So for him to use his athleticism, tap the board on the left and then reverse it on the right, that was a guaranteed letter for the guy that's talking about the game and now playing the game these days. So Zach LaVine became my favorite to close this thing out as we continue to watch what happens in this horse competition.
It was, and we will continue to watch because we are just so starved for actual competitive basketball, but my man Chauncey Billups, I love Chauncey Billups so much because he took my strategy. Just take easy shots, free throws, little 15-footers, just little 8-footers. Just keep possession. You know, keep the ball in your hands. That's how you win at this. You can do all the fancy stuff. You got Chris Paul holding one foot behind him, using the other hand. Zach LaVine going under the backboard. The way to win this is just hit your mid-range shots. And you saw my man Chauncey Billups doing exactly that. But I gotta say something. Negative Jacoby got to show up for one second here.
Negative Jacoby showing up.
You know, Chris Paul, he's, you know, that he got to let on that one. But it's Trae Young, and you're about to see his basket. That's not 10 feet, dog. And it's bent. Trey Young is what, like 6'1", maybe? He can reach up and touch the rim on that hoop. Like, you got to get up to 10 feet if you're going to be in a competition with other professional basketball players. Come on, Trey.
So, Jacoby, Chris Rock once said it best. Shaq is rich. The person that write his check and own the team is wealthy. Mm-hmm. When I was watching Chauncey play against Trey Young, who's been to Mr. Big Shot's house because he does a great job of being an OG and a mentor to so many players and working them out and welcoming them into his home. A member of Bad Boys 2, 2004 Detroit Pistons, stand up. Rasheed, Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince. What he did to him, if you look at the floor, Mr. Big Shot's court is state of the art. That's old money. That's retired money. He was shooting from the baseline, in the corner, behind the backboard. He see Trey Young's rim is bent in the front. He was shooting in the front, 4-3, off the glass. Free throw, underhand. None of those shots in front of the rim, if your joint is bent, have a chance to go in. So I felt like that he was using that literally as his strategy. To the point where when he beat Trey, Trey was like, you know what? I got to come out there and kick it. And Charles was like, you know what? We'll do another one off wax. You know what I'm saying? But I'm handling this right now. I'm moving on to the next round.
We can do a real one. And Mike Conley had a full indoor gym. Like Mike Conley, you can tell Mike Conley's been in the league for a while because he's piled up those millions and he's got himself a full indoor gym. Everybody else got a little driveway or a little sport court like Paul and Chauncey.
But I want to bring you up to speed on something. You ready for this? You ready for this? You ready for this? You ready for this? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I don't mean to cast any aspersions, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would believe that Chauncey and Paul moved their families to the suburbs. Mike Conley's already lived there once he got to the league. And he got a max deal. So it's different, Jacoby. Trust me. And also, if you're a real estate agent, you was watching this like location, location, location. You ain't see nobody from New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Why? You don't get the bang for your buck. No bang for your buck. The weather isn't the best. The taxes are the highest. You know, you ain't see nobody from the East Coast doing this. You saw some Midwest, Pacific Northeast, West Coast, little South. But you ain't getting no East Coast on this
one. No, we don't have space. I've been quarantined with three little kids. We don't even have a yard. I was thinking about taking them up to the roof, but the one of them's going to fall off, and I'm going to feel bad about it. But trust me, there's not enough room for a hoop over here. I got a little apartment in the middle of Manhattan. So, Jalen, so this started bubbling up on Friday, and there were some reports about some tension between Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, two of the Utah Jazz that both tested positive for coronavirus. Rudy Gobert was also accused, and sort of in some interesting wording by our colleague Woj, about not taking the coronavirus threat seriously at the time, and perhaps that could have led to some of his teammates, namely Donovan Mitchell, being infected with the virus. Rudy Gobert spoke over the weekend to Taylor Brooks about these reports, and here is what Gobert had to say.
It is true that we didn't speak for a while after this, but we did spoke a few days ago, and you know, like I said, we both ready to go out there and try to win a championship for this team. You know, it's not about being a professional, and you know, everyone got different relationships. Everyone got, you know, it's never perfect. Married people that are married, you know, it's never perfect. So, you know, me and my teammate, no, it's not, it's far from perfect, but at the end of the day, we both want the same thing, and it's winning, and you know, and we both grown men, and we both gonna do what it takes to win.
So, Jalen, he's downplaying it, saying there's no big deal. We all just want to win a championship. Once we get back on the court, everything will be fine. And other people have said that. But these reports of tension don't come out of nowhere. Like, they don't come out of nowhere. So something was up. What do you think about Rudy Gobert's response to to reports of tension between him
and Donovan Mitchell? Well, me is multi-layered because maybe it's just my personality too. If I'm Rudy Gobert, I stop explaining myself and stop apologizing at this point because what he did was irresponsible and immature and how he didn't take it so very serious. But he didn't understand the magnitude of what was happening. And once he did, his tone changed dramatically. And I know he sympathizes for his undisciplined behavior initially as it related to distancing, respecting the coronavirus. The next step is, if I'm Donovan Mitchell, you can be the dog, you can be the homie acting silly and kikiing about it and rubbing the microphones and rubbing everybody's skin and their clothes and, you know, making it a mockery in a locker room. But on the other hand, you can't be the dude to catch it. You know what I'm saying? And so all of a sudden when that happens, yeah, I am feeling some type of way because you got the warnings and the information I got, but yet you was acting undisciplined and your behavior probably made me get it. So, of course, I'm going to feel some type of way. And that's not going to just go away in like 5 minutes or, you know, a FaceTime call. And I've been someone that predicted that Donovan Mitchell's long-term future wasn't in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
This just further puts gasoline on the fire that I've stoked for a year and a half, David Jacoby.
Well, it's interesting because we had teams like the Jazz and teams like the Nuggets that had championship expectations in the Western Conference. And now here we are without the basketball. So the future of these franchises is still very much up in the air because there are so many teams up and down both the Eastern and Western Conference whose future and this particular nucleus and the success of the nucleus and who they'll sign long-term was still up in the air when we had this stoppage of play. And there's still so much, very much in flux in terms of head coaching positions, roster decisions, and everything else moving forward that I feel like the Jazz are one of those teams that you really have to see them do something bigger than they've done in the past in the playoffs to convince yourself that this nucleus is a championship type of nucleus. But we will wait just like everyone else to see that happens. But one thing we've also been waiting for very different reasons, the signing of two quarterbacks, one named Cam Newton and one named Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, the latest on him was a little report from the NFL Draft Scout. And this is what that report said. It said that it is most likely looking like Jameis will have to start off as a backup this year. That was posted by Bridgeport Gridiron. So, gentlemen, my question for you is this is, Jameis calls your phone, and he says, what should I do, Jay? Because it looks like there's too many starting spots for me out there. What his plan would be is to sort of like pull a Tannehill, would be to back up someone who's tenuously holding on to the starting position and then eventually take over that position throughout the season rather than being a true backup to an established quarterback. Do you think that's the right strategy for him right now?
So I have two jobs for him that may not want him, but he should want.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to say New England, but that just seems so far-fetched. So I'll really give you two. One, because of style, Pittsburgh. Standing in the pocket like Big Ben, not much of a scrambler, playing under a great coach like Mike Tomlin. Can you be somebody to reinvent yourself and takes care of the football? Another one is a destination on paper. Tyrod Taylor is the current starter. Phillip Rivers plays more like Jameis in the pocket. Maybe he could go there and be their starter eventually with all of the talent they have on the outside and in the backfield. Those are two jobs that kind of stand out for me. And hopefully he can end up in one of those situations and get a chance to play. I don't want him to go to one of those graveyard jobs like the Jets. I don't want that to happen for him because you get in, you play one or two bad games, you get closer to being out of the league that way. So those are the squads that I would like to see him have an opportunity to go ball with.
I just want to see him on the Patriots, Jalen. And now you mentioned that seems unlikely. It just seems unlikely because it's sort of They've had Tom Brady for 20 years. Tom Brady, Jameis Winston, two very different quarterbacks. It's not an immediate perfect fit. But, man, would I love for Bill Belichick to just look at Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay and say, we just switched quarterbacks. Let's see how this works for both of us. It would just make me so happy just to sort of see which franchise goes up and at what degree, which franchise goes down and at what degree, and exactly how that could play out. Because there would be an apples to apples, a one spot switch to that.
Like what you did there.
Sure, for me, that I would be so happy to see it. Do I think it's going to happen? Am I predicting it's going to happen? No. But that doesn't mean I don't want it to happen. And you know what I secretly want to have happen? Secretly? I want Jameis to win the AFC as the quarterback of the New England Patriots. And I want Tom to get bounced in the first round as the quarterback of the Buccaneers.
Ooh!
I want everyone to look at Bill Belichick.
Really? Are you picking a side now? Not easy. Jacoby is picking a side.
It is it Bill or is it Tom? And I want Tom to don the hoodie and just look at the camera while he shakes hands at midfield with Andy Reid. And he says, we're going to the Super Bowl in Tampa. It's too bad Tom's not going to be there to meet.
Wow. That's exactly what I'm
going to have happen.
Wow.
I love it so much. I love it so much. I can't wait. Jalen, this story seems sort of frivolous at first, not that big a deal, but when we think about the times that we're in and the implications of all of our actions on everyone around us, it is pretty serious. Dak Prescott, who is still waiting for a deal from Jerry Jones and the Cowboys to make him the franchise quarterback for long-term moving forward, had a little gathering at his home. Approximately 30 people, that was reported by TMZ. Later turned into a little dinner party after that, about 10 people. Not exactly social distancing around the dinner table. We saw a picture of that. And at first I thought to myself, you know what? Being in the middle of New York City, we've been hit the hardest here in the United States. And I feel firsthand from people in my phone and people on my basketball team and people that I know, their ER doctors, just how serious this virus is. But maybe if you live in another part of the country that hasn't really hit yet, that you don't take it serious, you might have these kind of dinner parties. But apparently that's not the case. You can see here, just from just some of the Twitter reaction from the people when they learned about this 30-person gathering that Dak Prescott had. There's a lot of outrage about this. And the more I thought about it, the more I felt like the outrage was warranted. I really don't think it's responsible to your fellow citizens, to your community, to be having gatherings like this when it's been mandated that you don't. Jalen, what do you think about Dak having 30 people over on Friday night?
I can't front. When I first heard about it, I knew that Zeke was going to be one of them. I can't lie. I was like, I know if somebody getting it in, Zeke gonna be present for sure. And you see him in the video, got a plate in his hand.
It's at the buffet.
He has some medicinal, you know what I'm saying? Got the munchies. He right at the buffet.
He coming into camp heavy. He coming into camp as like a fullback. Like, oh, I thought the fullback was back. I was watching the Ravens. Wanted to get some weight.
No doubt about it. You know, the term that comes to mind or the words is tone deaf, because first and foremost, you're trying to get a new deal. So even if it's not genuine, you would just do whatever you got to do to make sure that you protect your best interests in order to get paid. The other thing is you're high profile and should understand how serious this pandemic with the coronavirus is. And if you're doing gatherings like this, they should be people that are immediate family that you love. I looked at that video, Jacoby. Those ain't people that if something happened that they getting tattoos for.
No.
They're not getting tattoos for them. They're not getting wires every month. They're not in the will. That's just my guess. No. And so if that's the case, it's just irresponsible, bad PR, and it's bad for all of us that are trying to do what we can to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 and socially distancing and hoping to make the necessary sacrifices for them to be making flagrant steps not to. And also, you can't order fries to go. They're cold. I've seen 15 orders of fries. They're cold. Never order fries to go. Yeah, you got people in your crib that's videotaping.
No,
like, come on, man.
Yeah, yeah, great point. You get if you do get fries, you got to put them on a baking sheet, preheat the oven when you know they're coming, and then put them on a baking sheet, throw them in the oven so they come out the oven hot. That's the only way you can eat fries that are from a restaurant if you're not eating them at the restaurant. It's a great point from you, Jalen Rose. Now, Jalen, we all have a lot of time, spending a lot of that time on our phones, on social media. So, of course, sometimes it's going to get. Jalen, it's happened with Todd Gurley. It's happened with Kevin Durant. And now it has happened to your namesake, Jalen Ramsey. And when I say it's happened, of course I mean they've been watching some Instagram Lives feature some erotic performances, and they don't just join the chat. They comment on it, not just once, but twice. What do you say of your guy, your namesake, Jalen Ramsey, not just enjoying some erotic videos live on Instagram, but commenting on it?
You know, I'm not proud to say this.
Uh-oh.
I don't think this is cute. I don't think this is cool.
Oh, no.
I'm not, like,
poking
out my chest saying this.
Maybe you shouldn't say it.
As a namesake, he got it honest. He really did. And I remember being on Livinoy and Tireman, and I was like 14 years old, and I was in an adult entertainment establishment. And then all of a sudden, one of the very talented performers was spraying breast milk. And I was trying to figure what I should do. Should I A, freak out? Should I B, drink it? Should I C, feel like, you know, it just disgusts me and I'm never coming back? And so as I pondered all of those options, you know what I did? The great citizen and the initial Jalen, the original, what I would do in that situation, I'm drinking that milk.
And that,
I'm doing it.
And that is how you became a 6'9 point guard in the National Basketball
League. I'm getting my potassium.
That tape right there. That stuff is power packed with nutrients, calcium, vitamin C, vitamin D. That is how you became as tall as you are. Sliding door moment for you, Jalen Rose. And, of course, as always, you picked the right guy. Moving on before we really get canceled, even though it's a day off. We always say we give the people what they want, so it's time to give the people what they want. So, Jalen, you know, here in New York City, it feels like we might be at the peak of a plateau or something. Who knows? This is a very unpredictable virus, but we're all been doing this for quite some time, and we're looking forward to when things start to return a little bit back to normal again. So we asked the people what they're most looking forward to when the quarantine is lifted, and here are three responses. Judge Jalen, we'd like you to pick your favorite. The first response we have is this: in process of buying a house now, first thing I'm doing is grilling the biggest lobster and tuna steaks I can find.
Yes, yes, yes.
Adult beverages.
Yes.
Hey, Ward.
What up, though?
And then the next nominee is Nathaniel Phillips. He said, hug my bartenders and tip very generously.
Nathaniel, don't forget the performers. Tip them as well.
Rose. And then finally, the last nominee we have is BY. I am 93, buying a ticket to the J&J live show at the Gramercy Theater once it's rescheduled. Jalen, those are your three nominees for best social media response of the day from our viewers and listeners. So we've got grilling the lobster tails, we've got tipping the bartenders, and we've got buying a ticket to the Gramercy Theater J&J show.
This is tough.
You're really struggling now.
You know what? I'll say hug the bartenders, because they're like barbers in the neighborhood. They're underrated for what they do with the in the community. They provide therapy.
They do so much. Alcohol.
Right. They provide beverages, attention. They have patience. They also order food. you know, they have to, you know, juggle people orders, high maintenance orders like mine, people that look like me that never order things that are actually on the menu.
Yeah. So Nathaniel and the bartenders wins that one. Jalen, very quickly, as we do every day, we have Jalen Jacoby's countdown to the last dance. The Last Dance is obviously the Michael Jordan 10-part documentary series being released by ESPN in less than 1 week on April 19th. And we don't have a lot of time left in the show, Jalen, so I want you to answer this one quickly if you can. Okay. Will we ever see another player dominate from the mid-range the way Michael Jordan did?
Not at all. And just so you know, free throw line extended, that's called the elbow. On the block, that's called the box. And usually terrific scores dominated what we call the boxes and the elbows. That's why a guy like George Gervin can score the way he did to win the scoring title on the last day of the year. David Thompson, the same exact thing. Kobe Bean Bryant. Kevin Durant. Allen Iverson in his own way with the mid-range. Like, these guys were so very effective, 15 to 18 feet away from the basket. But Jordan took it to a different level because he could also finish above the rim with the best of them. So imagine you see big guys that are able to finish at the hoop, get layups, dunks, get and-ones, like a Shaq. Imagine a perimeter version of that. That's MJ. But also playing in the mid-range like a Bernard King. And so I don't believe we'll see that again, and I don't believe you'll see a guy with two separate three-peats where he won finals MVP in each of the championship years.
Well, something you will see again is Jalen Anthony Rose wearing a do-rag on Jalen and Jacoby, because we're coming back every single day, 4 o'clock. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
We'll see you tomorrow.